So even though I've given a lot of talks in the last 20 years or so, I remain kind of nervous a little bit. Just want to convey this. And also, this is a somewhat, you know, big milestone in some circles, and I'm very happy to tell you about AutoCrypt 1 was like 2018 or so, and there was a lot of activity, and also, you know, everybody talks about forward secrecy. But before we start the talk, I'd like to know, who of you is actually using a discipline on Signal? I mean, who's using Signal? Very good. Who's using a default disappearing message for all chats? Okay, this is four people. You can count. So these people are the one who are profiting most from what is called forward secrecy. Because there's a big difference, not just the magic and property, but actually what it does is it protects deletion. And that's why you have on the title reliable deletion, which is kind of a synonym for forward secrecy. And you see in the spec a little bit why we talk about this, and I will also talk about it in this talk. So what is AutoCrypt V2? It's a modern OpenPGP certificate. In case you didn't know, last year there was like RFC 9580, which is also called like, you know, crypto refresh sometimes, was finalized. It introduces a new framing, it's called V6 keys, and this specification is fully based on that and fully interoperable. It introduces post-quantum encryption, and it does that by also using the ongoing PQC IETF drafts that are also, I don't know, somewhat finalizing soon. And what it also does, it implements what we call reliable deletion, because that is what forward secrecy is actually about. And as an additional constraint, because several of us, and I'm very involved in projects that actually try to work in very bad network conditions, like even worse than at FOSDEM. Even in network conditions where part of the internets are completely shut off and you cannot reach certain servers, you know? So any kind of central server architecture for doing something or so is out of, like, AutoCrypt V2 is not about that. What does it protect against? Very shortly, it's store now, decrypt later. So basically you think that basically you have an adversary that sits at the transport layer, even at the server itself, sees all passing traffic of end-to-end encrypted messages, stores all of that, later gets access to a device, you know, sometime later, just some weeks or whatever, and then can decrypt all of the traffic that has flowed through the server, even if the user, if the four users here had used disappearing messages by default everywhere. So if you don't delete messages, if you don't delete messages on your device, then you're not benefiting from forward secrecy. Because if somebody gets your device, they just have all the messages, not just the secret key. And the whole thing is just about reliable deletion. And then you have like the even further threat where, you know, there's lots of discussions when these quantum computers arrive. Maybe somebody can vibe code them or so. And but it will be some time. I mean, there's various things that you can follow in the last year that it's not very close. But anyway, it can happen. And then all of our current, you know, very important communication would be decrypted in 10 years from now, if somebody really manages to store all the data. And this is actually, these decrypt later attacks are what AutoCrypt V2 protects against. So why it matters for users? Well, you want to be sure that if you delete something or you have a disappearing chat, that there's basically no way to recover it for somebody. If it's gone from your device, then after some time, it's also, doesn't matter what somebody collected, like it's gone, you know? And the particular part that is, it needs to be reliable in completely fragmented network situations means you cannot introduce a remote dependency. I first have to ask somewhere, something like a pre-key server, like what Signal offers. And so if you look at current implementations in the last 10 years, I think Signal was introduced 2013, and at the various attempts from messengers implementing reliable deletion, they require network sync. They require pre-keys to be available. What's the current pre-keys from this? There's pre-key exhaustion attacks. You just kind of hammer the server, give me all the pre-keys you have until it's exhausted, and then what? You cannot encrypt anymore. Somebody else, and so on. So it's like an attack vector. You have this network sync. And usually it's central servers. You know, there are attempts to make this decentralized. Talk about this later. And then there's a third complexity, which is, and you know this from if you followed the history of the last 8 years, is multi-device. Like, how well do multi-devices actually synchronize? Because they need to agree on which keys to drop, which decryption keys to drop. If they do it too early, they cannot decrypt. You know, some messengers have this unable to decrypt problem. Autocrypt v2 actually does this different. Like, it's a completely different approach to doing a reliable deletion. And it's clock time based. It's a synchronization that is relatively reliable worldwide. There's a whole section in the draft spec about this. And therefore, it doesn't require any network configuration, any network interaction. It works offline, cannot be exhausted or something like this. And both between the multiple devices and between any potential servers, there's simply no coordination required. Everything can be computed offline locally. So there's a big change that would fill its own bigger talk. Tomorrow there's a chatmail architecture talk that is coming from the Lotterjet project that will be about this, also this kind of V2 approach. So AutoCrypt 1 was focused, just like other traditional ways to do end-to-end encryption, on managing a binding. Managing a binding from an email address to a key, or signal from a phone number to a key. You know? And this binding actually needs to be managed. It's attackable. And V2 actually says, no, we just do pure cryptographic identity. You can use any transport. You can use email, you can use XMPP, you can use peer-to-peer, and so on. The certificate works. The spec actually is made for that. So, a bit down to the details, because some of you will be interested. Post-quantum is using kind of a state-of-the-art combination of MLChem 768 and the 25519 encryption, hybrid. Reliable deletion is done by kind of clock-based automatical destruction of secret keys. It's unlike the massive flexibility that past OpenPGP efforts offered, where the actual PGP structure can be all kinds of things, all kinds of keys, all kinds of algorithms. This is like using a modern approach, and it says, no, the certificate is one thing. It has very particular algorithms, carefully chosen. You cannot change them. And it's a fixed size certificate. It's 2,938 bytes always. It is completely interoperable. There's nothing new you need to do. You can use it with any V6 implementation. And there's PGP, Rust PGP, and Python examples already doing the certificate with some tests. So how does it look like? This is the 2,938 bytes. It has a primary key. It has a direct key signature. And then, and that's the interesting part, it has these two time-based encryption keys. The one, and that makes it always working, is the fallback key. That's the key you can always use. Like, if you don't have any kind of rotated key that is, like, you know, smaller for a smaller time, you just use the fallback. So encryption always succeeds if you happen to be offline somewhere and need to write a message. And then this is the part that changes all the time. This is like the rotating subkey. Currently, it's rotating at, I think, 5 days in the spec per default. But, you know, implementations can find ways to change this if they like. And it will be discussed like in the next time. The schedule is basically in the spec. If you look at it, it's there is the how long is the key valid. Let's say it's valid 10 days. So we return